The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, for those of you who are dealing with the loss of a loved one, Christmas is a particularly challenging time of the year. So, what can you do to help yourself not only get through Christmas, but perhaps find some joy or peace of mind? Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, joins us now. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Pat. Good to talk.
Now, it's not just people who lose loved ones around Christmas time. It's really at any time, particularly in the last year, where the absence at the Christmas table will be very much felt.
Very felt, exactly. So there's lots of things about Christmas, I think, that bring it, you know, make grief a little more intense and a little more difficult. And I think we can all kind of imagine that easily enough because of all the gatherings, all of the togetherness, all of the dinners, the chats and what used to be the great laughs. So, you know, together. So if there's somebody missing and somebody loved who is not present, and I would say to you, not just this year, The year before, it's quite interesting. People think, oh, time heals, and it does heal eventually. But it's really important not to sort of imagine that somebody might find this year easier than last year, because in a funny way, that doesn't work out that way. People will often say to you, I find it harder as time is going on, because almost like the person's memory is a little further away. And so they don't feel as close to them in some way. And that's brings in another, if you like, wave or level of the absence.
Now, do you think that you should change the ritual of Christmas to allow for that loss, or should you try to retain all that was good and positive about your traditional Christmas?
Yeah, I think I always say to people, it's a very personal journey. What is good for you and what is right for you will not be right for someone else. So it's really about what is healthy. I think anything a person does, you know, is okay. There isn't a right or wrong for you in this, but what might be healthier for you is to, if you feel you have the strength, and if it's not too close, of course, that you can grasp some aspects of the day, whatever feels good for you. Now, if children are involved, there's another whole range of issues that have to be thought of, because we try to preserve Christmas for children, and they are able to deal with absence and gaps better than maybe you and I would be, because it's a different equation for them. So I think it's about doing what can be done on the day, but not being afraid to say no, and not being afraid to say, I'm not able for that, or I can't do the big gathering, but I could do the three, or I could do four. And being both easy with yourself, but also pressing yourself forward slightly. There's a kind of, because there's a drive to retreat, and it's a little balance. Now, if you've had grief in the last 6 months, I would say that retreating is going to be quite a bit of what a person would feel like doing. But so it's to acknowledge that your desire to pull away from everything, but perhaps also to acknowledge that it's good for you to go out and do a little something, whether that's shopping, whether that's just, you know, being in the company of somebody you feel very safe with and very comfortable with, and that you could perhaps talk about this person who you have lost, because that's something where we all can help each other, I think, Pat. You know, people are inclined to say, well, you know, I won't mention it because I don't want to upset her, or I don't want to upset him. 100% wrong. People want to talk about the person who is no longer with them, because that's what allows them to remember and to, in some way, feel less alone without them. So I would encourage that.
Now, the nature of the person's demise, obviously, if it's sudden, if it's unexpected, it might be different to what, I don't know whether they still use this term, but I've heard it even recently, you know, it was a merciful release because they were in pain, mm-hmm. they were sick for a long time, and mm-hmm. their passing was not unexpected.
Yes.
Does that impact on the nature of the grieving?
Yes, it does impact. It impacts a lot in so far as if there is an expectedness, if one, as I say, it's not that it makes it better or worse, it makes it different. If you expect somebody to die, if you've had the opportunity to say your goodbyes, if you've had the opportunity to realize deep in yourself that they're not going to get better here. So there's a lot of internal adjustment going on in those months, weeks, or longer than that, which can go on with illness. So the body and the mind and the psychology of yourself is ready in some way for the reality of what happens. And so your adjustment, a lot of your adjustment is happening before the event. But where it is entirely unexpected, where it comes flash out of the blue, and even where perhaps you had no indication of illness, the intensity of that and the complexity of that grief is more in the suddenness. And we would say the intensity and the shock is probably, you know, to a factor of 10. So I would be thinking that way when I talk to people, that they will be 10 times more, how would I say, thrown off their normal balance, and will have 10 times more the intensity inside themselves to deal with. So they need a lot more immediate support.
Sometimes it'll catch you by surprise. You know, you're yes. coping well with a bereavement, and then something, it could be a song yes. on the radio. It could be a glimpse of someone who looked somehow like your relative mm. who's died, or your partner in life or whatever. And you're overwhelmed by an emotion, and it's completely unexpected. And people around you may say, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him?
Hmm. Because grief comes like that. And it's, as we all know, even the subliminal messaging that we pick up around us, and something could be stirring that grief in a way almost you don't, you know, you can't put your finger on what that is. It may have been a grey head passing in the shopping, somebody who had a scarf on like your mum. You know, it can be something very small. As you say, the music is, of course, very evocative, but it can be very small things. And the thing is, grieving is the healthy process that is going on inside of us as we adjust to letting that person go and adjusting, if you like, all of our thinking, our emotionality, and being able to turn our face to the world and accept that they are not here anymore, but that you can carry them with you. All of the good things, all of the memories, all of the love, in the same way as you carry your internalized kind of parental love, you carry that with you forward. And eventually, as grief becomes adjusted, as you work through it all, you become able to kind of turn yourself to life a little bit without thinking sad thoughts all of the time. That's what that process is. It's a letting go, not a letting go and an abandoning, but a kind of a letting go of the sadness, a grasping of the internalization of it, and the moving forward.
At what point could you say that it's becoming a problem in itself, that it's becoming, in a sense, almost like an illness, if it's protracted? I mean, how do you yes. know when you really are not coping as you should and perhaps you need help?
Yes, good point. Really good question, Pat. I think the barometer that I would use for people is you should be feeling, with grief and indeed with most things, you should be feeling a tiny bit better. It may be, you know, really small, but you should be moving in the general direction of feeling a little better each day. If, or each week at least, and in the initial phases now, we're not expecting you to feel better every day, you know, but if we're into the sort of 4 months, 5 months, we're talking about expecting you to feel a little better every day. Also, if you're feeling worse every day, that's quite an indicator that maybe this is maybe complex in a way that could be simplified a little bit by talking to somebody who is really listening to the undercurrent that might be going on as well for you. And that can help grief. But grief is normal. It's a kind of an adjustment. People can do it on their own, largely. And very odd times, things get protracted and get difficult. And the suddenness would be one of them, if I may say, Pat. And another one that's makes things quite complex for people is if the relationship was a bad relationship. In other words, if it was toxic or it was, you know, a broken down relationship between mother and daughter or father and son. And then all the opportunities for that fixing or that coming together are gone forever. That complexity of that negative relationship or those negative parts of that relationship leave a person in a position where they have less to hold on to, in the same way as I mentioned there about the internalized thing. If you have something good internally to hold on to, you're inclined to be able to grieve that person, grieve the loss of that person much better. You see this with couples where they've had a wonderful love and life together. You might think that they will never, you know, get over it, but they do because the love was great and they have a lot inside to hold on to.
Trying to find the positive, obviously you can be stricken by the grief because you are missing the person terribly, particularly at this time of year. But then, you know, you can look at the children who are having a great time, or it snows, they're out there, you know, on the toboggan or whatever, and you're conflicted because here's something that will make you laugh, make you smile. On the other hand, you've got this overwhelming sense, well, he or she is not here to see all this.
That's right. And the gap is there. But I think what people sometimes feel bad about going forward and being happy, you know, they feel like they're leaving the person behind. That's a complexity in grief as well. But the thing is, joy and grief can live beside each other. You know, they can both be present on Christmas Day. You can enjoy the children. You can still feel the loss and the gap. These things don't have to be separated from each other. That's one thing I would say to people. So smiling and laughing and all of that around is not, you're not, it's not disloyal in any way to this person who has left. And I think, you know, give yourself all the time that you need. It is your own individual kind of story, and nobody can tell you exactly what you should or shouldn't do. But just be mindful that you will want to pull back, but you really need also to go forward. So try and do that in small little steps. We're inclined to go forward and back, in fact, you know, where you will have good days and then not so good days. So Christmas can be difficult in that regard. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to speak about the person, because you will find comfort. And remember, a lot of people are trying not to raise something that will upset you. They're afraid it will upset you. But the truth is, I mean, I know because clinically, obviously, I'm dealing with it all of the time, but that it's a comfort to people when you raise and say, you know, do you remember the time we did this? And wasn't that a great day out? And it allows that conversation to happen. And it brings that person into the room and into the conversation for Christmas. I think that's helpful to people.
All right. Well, it can be the smallest little trigger. You know that great ad for Barry's Tea where the father says, well, that Bates banner. I haven't heard that ad this Christmas.
That's right.
More is the pity. But, you know, that expression would probably bring back a particular person, because it was a very common expression. Yeah. And every time they heard that ad, it would probably make them smile and think of their loved one.
And think of their loved one. Absolutely. And I think everyone tries to be very gentle and kind around this at Christmas, but it's very hard to get it right with people who are suffering, because people will say, you know, oh, somebody else keeps bringing up the subject and they don't want it, but other people really want the subject brought up. So it's difficult. You have to navigate it gently, but just don't presume that people are where you think they might be. They may be completely somewhere else. It's very easy to think that people are further than they are in their grief journey.
Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.